salvation. Who knew the only way it could be done? And who saw how desperate things had become? No soul on earth knew the answer, but he did. Who gave up his throne at the right hand of God up in heaven? Who came down to earth and walked among the humble and poor? Who suffered at the hands of the ones he would save? Who carried that cross of Golgotha that day? And who felt the nails in his hands and his feet? He did. You might not have known that your soul was in need of salvation. And you might not have known why he had to die on that cross. You might not have known there was no other way he could save you from your sin. Of the angel, did Jesus arise?
He did.
And the angels asked God, is it over? Did he pay the price?
He did.
Oh, Satan approached God and said, I've won again. Who gave you the right to forgive mankind's sins? God turned to his son, now standing at his right hand. And said he did. Oh, you might not have known that your soul was in need of salvation. And you might not have known why he had to die on that cross. You might not have known there was no other way he could save you from your sin.
Bibles this morning, we're going to find out what people love. Amen. You ever wondered what people love? We're going to find out. That's the title of what we're talking about this morning. In Jeremiah, on the fifth chapter, the book of Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. Start with verse number 30. It says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are. We ask, Father, this morning that you would touch our hearts. Lord, let this anointed word, God, come into our hearts and our lives today. Father, that would help us and that we might help others. Lord, to be a warning sign to the world, God, that is so bent on moving away from you. Father, help us today to hear your voice and to obey it. Lord, we love you today and we praise you for your presence here. God, I believe every time we open your word, you're here to confirm your word with signs following. And Lord, this day is no different. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed into the land. Wonderful here means to be astonished. He's astonished at the waste and the ruin in people's lives. It also means to grow numb, how people have grown numb and callous to the things of God. Amen? Even in the church world. And he's saying here that this wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And this thing it is committed is, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means. And he says, my people love to have it so. But then he asks a question, what are they going to do in the end? In the end of the road that they're going, that they're loving to be on, what is the end of that road? And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, is these three things here. The falsehood that is preached and how that the people love to have it so, preach to them that way, else they wouldn't be sitting under it. And the last thing is, what are they going to do in the end? There's an end coming. There's an end to everything. And there's an end coming. He says in verse number 20 of this same chapter, he says, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. See, he's warning them and he's telling them of the people of this day that they are people who have eyes and yet they seem to be blind, and they have ears, but people can prophesy to them falsely in the time of Jeremiah and even today, that, and people like they can't hear it. They can't see them. They can't see the falsehoods. The leaders misled the people. The prophets prophesy falsely, counterfeit a commission from heaven when they are factors for hell. Religion is never more dangerously attacked than under color and pretense of divine revelation. But why did not the priest who had power in their hands for that purpose restrain the false prophets? Instead of doing that, they made use of them as the tools of their ambition and tyranny. The priests bear rule by their means. They support themselves and the grandeur and wealth, their laziness and luxury, their impositions and oppressions. Thus they were in a combination against everything that was good and strengthened one another's hands in evil. And the people were well enough pleased to be so misled. They are my people, says God, and should have stood up for me and borne their testimony against the wickedness of the priests and the prophets, but they love to have it so. If the priests and prophets will let them alone in their sins, they will give them no disturbance in theirs. Their love to be ridden with a loose rein, and like those rulers very well that will not restrain their lust, and those teachers that will not reprove them. What a pitch of wickedness will you come to at last? He asked, what will you do? What will you not do that is base and wicked? What will this grow into? Where is it headed? Where is this road going? You going that you're on? Will you certainly grow worse and worse till you have filled up the measure of your iniquities? What a pit of destruction will come to you at last? What things are brought to such a pass as this? Nothing can be expected from you but a deluge of sin. And nothing can be expected from God but a deluge of wrath. And what shall you do when that shall come? Amen. In this day in which we live in, that people seem to be, how far away they can be from God rather than how close they can be with God. Talk about falsehoods and falsely. One of the main topics in the Bible that the different ones that wrote unto us, even Jesus talking, warned of us of this, had a common thread of false prophets
And he warned us, know them that labor among you. Amen. Know the truth. Truth is what makes you free. That's why I encourage you all the time to study this Bible, to know it. Make sure I'm telling you the truth, that I'm not lying to you. How do you know it else you know the word? Amen. See, I might not always be here. Second Peter in the second chapter, verse 1, he says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. How do they, brother, they say the name of Jesus, and they carry something that looks like a Bible in their hand, and they sing songs that's got Jesus in it, brother Dave. So they got to be telling the truth because they say the name of Jesus. But look at here, how that they deny Christ is that there's no change in their life. Amen. 2 Corinthians in 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Amen. Behold, all things are become new. And so we understand, if there's been no change, then there's been no change. They preach it today that whatever feels good, do it. God holds us today as a different standard than all other generations. All the other generations had to live holy, but we don't have to in this generation. That's what they preach. Well, they don't say it in that many words, but that's what they're saying. Amen. He says, and many, there's that many word, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you. Feign means fake or artificial. It also means form, like an empty shell, a form. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power. Amen? What power? The power that transforms lives. The power that gets us ready for heaven. The power that makes us more like Christ rather than the world. Amen? They deny that. They're a shell. They're just a form of godliness. But it's artificial, like that plant there. It's nothing there. It only looks like it. These flowers up here, they're pretty to look at, and they look almost real sometimes. But they're artificial. Amen. There's no life in them. Amen. He says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in wolves' clothing. He said, sheep's clothing. Look at here. They'll come in and look just like you. They shall appear like you. He says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How shall we know them? By their fruit ye shall know them. Amen. By their fruit that they are producing from their lives. Jeremiah in the 14th chapter, or in the 13th verse. He said, then said I, I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. I'm going to preach to you through scripture. It's not my opinion. I'm just giving you scripture. You can't argue with it today. So it's a lot of it this day. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture to you because I don't want my opinion in this. I want you to see it from the word of God. And then said I, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and the thing of naught, and the deceit of the heart. In other words, you better know the truth. He's telling Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I'm with you, but there's some false prophets, and you better know the difference. And God looks at you today, and he says, I love you, and I sent my son to die for you, but you better know the truth, because there's some deceivers that will try to steal your salvation. So you better know the truth today. Amen. You cannot get it by just coming to church on Sunday morning and thinking you're going to have it made, because you will not get enough of the truth in you just coming like that. You better get in the book and study for yourself, and you better get involved in the house of God and the work of God so that you don't be deceived. You better know the truth. Look at the one next to you. He said, you better know the truth in these last days. He said in 1 John in the 4th chapter, verse 1, he said, believe, beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirits. How do you try the spirit right here? You try it by right here, by the book. Amen. To see if it lines up with the book. If it don't line up with the book, it's a lie, because the book is true. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen. So we know the truth, and whatever is not truth is a lie. Pretty simple, isn't it? The book of Micah 2:11, this is like the church world of today. If a man walking in the spirit, now that's not a capital S, that could be a false evil spirit, that's what it is. In the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of a strong drink. He shall even be the prophet of this people. I mean, they could come in and they could just tell them, hey, you can kind of live any kind of way you want to. You know, because God don't hold us to those old standards anymore. And so you could just, you know, whatever feels good, do it. Let's make him our pastor. Huh? Tell us what we want to hear. Amen. That's what he's saying. Mark's gospel in the 13th chapter, verse 6, Jesus said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive few. Did he say few there? He said many. Many. Where's I heard that at? That's the broad way. And that many shall go in there at. Many. Shall deceive many. Multitudes of people are deceived. Only the few are not deceived. Wow. Remember that word many, and remember few to the end of this message. Amen. Anything goes in that many crowd. Matthew 24:5, he says that Jesus here says that same thing again. He just different books. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:24, it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. In other words, they'll have great big groups and many people following them. Amen. Just look at let me not get there. Let me go on here. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let me tell you how it influences. These big mega places. You say, Brother Dave, you just say that because you don't have a mega church. No, I'm not saying that. But what they do is they came on the scene in the 70s, the charismatic movement. It is a artificial Pentecostal movement. I heard a fellow on TV yesterday is teaching, and he was saying, and he was talking about, I'd already studied this message, and he was talking about false prophets on television. He said the Pentecostals, and I mean, I think he's Pentecostal, but I don't really know. But he said the Pentecostals are the main one on television that's deceiving people. It's not the Pentecostals, it's the charismatics. You got to know the difference. What is the difference, Brother Dave? They speak in tongues. The Pentecostal will get it when the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes, that's Pentecostal. That's the real deal. Amen. The charismatic carries you in the back room and says, I drive a Honda, you drive a Honda. Now that's your, you know, I tie your bow tie, you tie my bow tie. That's your prayer language. They teach you a prayer language. That's the difference. And you can, it's an artificial. And what they do, then they start getting people come by massive droves, because, hey, we could be Pentecostal, we could have the Holy Ghost and still have the world. I mean, we wear our short shorts and still speak in tongues. You better watch out. You better watch out. Amen. And then they come through and they make these big mega churches, and Sunday morning they packed out and they got, you know, two or three services on Sunday morning, got so many people coming. But on Sunday night they had to cancel the service because nobody will come back. See, that's the problem with them big groups. They're not faithful. Come on. Those big groups are just coming to just ease their conscience to say, I haven't gone to church. You know? And what happens is on Sunday night, they just cancel their service. And so what happens, we're getting back to the very elite here. If it were possible, the very elect shall be deceived. And so what happens, we get all these other denomination churches, and they're looking at these big churches. They say, wow, they have two churches, two services on Sunday morning, but they don't have on Sunday night. Let's just have us two services on Sunday morning, and let's cut out our Sunday night service, too. And then they cut out their Wednesday night service also. Because they're trying to imitate these big mini churches. We're mini, the Broadway churches. You better imitate the one who built the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's who we need to be following, not other churches. Help us. Verse 25, it says, behold, I have told you before, Jesus said here. But it says here in Jeremiah 5:30, it says that the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule, and the people love to have it so. Why, they wouldn't come in, they wouldn't last a half a service in here, some of them. They say, that guy's, he's an idiot up there preaching. He's speaking foreign things to us. That's not in the Bible. Well, it's not in theirs because they probably got a little NIV or something other, you know. But it's in the King James. But they love to have it so. Paul told Timothy in the second book of Timothy, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Would be to God that you could go into one of those big places this morning, like Joel Osteen's church out there in Texas, and get up there and actually preach against homosexuality. Come on. Actually preach that it's a sin. Come on. That abortion is wrong. Would God be that he'd have enough backbone? But he said, I can't preach that because I'll lose them. Well, lose them. My God, get the blood off your hand and preach the truth of the gospel. He said, preach the word, be instant in season out. Whether they like it or not, preach the word. I don't have a choice in the matter. For the time will come, in verse 3, he said it will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. And my friend, that day has come. People will not endure sound doctrine. That's why churches are dropping their teachings and dropping everything that they believe so that they can get people in. Well, if you get a church full of sinners, what have you got? You got nothing, just change and put you a Budweiser sign over the door. You got the same thing, same crowd. It's kind of like the little parrot in the bar on Saturday night down there. And he kept hollering, rock, let's party, rock, let's party. You know, boy, they get the band going, they partying down. Well, one of them brought the church, the bird to church Sunday morning. And he set him up there and he said, whoop, let's party, whoop, let's party. He said, hush, 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 we in the church. He said, rock, same crowd, rock, same crowd. It's the truth. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just tell us what we want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Remember, said, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Just a little bedtime story. This Jesus thing on the cross, that's just a little bedtime story. That was cute. Little baby in a manger. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let it till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one, wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Talking about Antichrist there. And all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Listen, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We love to have it so. This is what people like. Just tell me anything and let me be happy. That's why them, you know, that's why these, a lot of these televangelists are so prosperous. Because people love it to have it that way. As they send me $1,000. Send me $1,000 and God's going to just make you just so wealthy you'll never have to work again. Fools would send it in. It's a shame. I'm glad Jesus didn't on the way up to Calvary said, I'm going to do this, but it's going to cost you $5,000 for me to do this. Man, this thing's free. This thing's free. This thing's free. Glory. They love to have it so. This is what the people love. What people love to follow. Just look at the crowds. Amen. John 3:19 it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why they fly under these colors. That's why they don't want the truth preached, because it reveals who they really are. So they go to these places where nothing is ever preached. No conviction. Nothing is ever named. Just kind of feel good. Lower the lights. It's amazing how churches won't turn the lights off. God is light. I told about a church I went to one time. And it was a revival. Somebody invited me. I went there. And I was sitting in the congregation next to Brother Huggins. And I was sitting there. And all of a sudden they got up there singing and stuff. And they got the... had a dimmer and started dimming the sanctuary lights. And I kept noticing the thing getting darker and darker. What are you doing? In a few minutes, they was all the way out. All the way out. I said, man, what's going on here? You know, just... Then they started the stage lights. One of them would dim down and another would start dimming a little bit, slowly dimming. It kept getting darker and darker. And I leaned over to brother. I said, I thought he called us out of darkness. What are they doing in here? You know? In a few minutes, all the lights was out except one little light right there over where, right in the center here. And they started calling for people to come and get prayed for, and boy, the whole front. You couldn't hardly see them. It's so dark in there, but it's people all around the front up there, you know. And the guy knew I was a preacher. And he said, I want y'all preachers to come up here and help me pray for these people. Y'all come up here, you preachers. He did a couple times. I wasn't going up there. I might be dumb, but ain't that dumb. All it takes is for the one of them women that he put his hands inappropriately in a place he shouldn't have. And my ministry would have been over. Come on. Paul said this thing was done out in the open. Come on. It wasn't hid in a corner in darkness. I leaned over to the brother and I said, hey, I'm getting out of here, man. I left. I got in my truck and I turned the interior lights on all the way home and just had the light on in the side. You know? Saw another brother at work next day. He said, you left too soon. After a while, they cut that light off. All they had was one little candle going. What is all that about? I mean, they get young people. They bring them in darkened rooms and do things and try to show them a good time. Well, what are you going to do when they get grown up? How are they going to worship God? I want them to come and repent. I don't want to show them a good time. I want them to repent and seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want them to grow in God. Get something that they'll know the truth. Don't build a bar room in your church and try to induce them to the world. That's craziness. Talking to a fellow the other day, he said, yeah, we painted all our youth center there black, the walls black. Why? Why? So it would be like darkness.
I don't, maybe I'm from the old school. For everyone, verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. I have no problem with the light. I don't have anything in my life that I'm hidden, that I'm hiding. Come on. It says that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Isaiah 30 and verse 8, he says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book. Your life has been recorded, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceits. He said, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And that's what's happened. That's why he says in Revelation, the third chapter, you notice he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is a picture of the Lord and the church. He's on the outside of the church and he's knocking. I want back in the church, but they won't open the door. I know oftentimes we say it's the heart of them, it's the picture of a man's heart. But in reality, he's talking to the churches in the second and third chapter. And there he's outside the church and he's knocking, wanting in of his own church. And they won't let him in. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. He says, the people love to have it so. Prophesy and talk to us in smooth things. Tell us if it feels good, do it. But what will their end be? See, it don't matter how you live today. You can live any kind of way you want to today. But friend, when you die, you can have any kind of salvation today. It don't matter. But when you die, Jeremiah in the 12th chapter in verse number 5, he said, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? I mean, in this time when grace period is known, this is known as the grace period, the time, the church age. And salvation is everywhere. And my friend, if you can't live for God and temptations just pull you so today, what in the world are you going to do in the day of temptation? I mean, after the rapture of the church, because you're not going, if we're not living this thing, what are you going to do in that day? I've even talked to people that say, well, you know, I'll just wait till the rapture takes place. And when I see the rapture takes place, then I know that time is running out. So I need to get right with God. I said, man, if you can't live for God now, how you think you're going to live for him then? I mean, when all the preachers are gone. You mean all the preachers are going? Yes, every one of the preachers are going. Now, there's a lot of people in pulpits preaching today. They ain't going because they ain't preachers. I'm talking about ones that's truly, the ones that's saved and sanctified. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ready to go. Listen. He said, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they weary thee, how are you going to do? What you going to do when the swelling of the Jordan come? What you going to do then? I mean, if you resist God now and you don't want to get saved now, what you going to do when all this takes place? You won't do it then. Matthew 24 and 27, he says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Well, we're talking about what shall they do in their end. The end of the road of all these church people and people upon this earth. Now here in the scripture, he's talking about the second coming. It's not the rapture. The rapture has already taken place 7 years earlier. But this is the second coming, Battle of Armageddon. In verse 28, it says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I ask you, what are you going to do then? What are these people going to do then that say, oh, we're Christians, but yet they're not, because they love to have it so, listening to falsehoods? What are you going to do then? It goes on in verse 37 of the same chapter, verse 37 of 24th chapter of Matthew. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, everything continued as they ever was. I mean, people, they don't look how that the world is getting more evil and more evil, and how that the world is getting further and further away from the things of God. Even in the church world, they get further and further and further away. I was visiting someone the other day, and they posed a question and said, where's all the churches come from? Why is it so many churches? That's simple. Over the book of Acts, the church was born, one church. And it was a Pentecostal church, day of Pentecost, amen? The Holy Ghost came into the church, and the church was born that day. That was the beginning of the church. But down through time, men have grown cold and indifferent to, and false prophets come in, and they realize that they can merchandise people, and they can, you know, make money off of people and make their living off of people. And they come in and they prophesy falsely. And what happens? The church cooled down, and they would separate. They would say, well, there would be a handful of people that said, I still want holiness and righteousness, and I want to seek God. And they would leave this group and go over and start another church. And it would go for a few years till that generation died off. And then another generation come up, and usually by the third generation, it would be cooled off. And then there'd be a group of people that said, no, I remember so-and-so, our great-great-grandmama, and what they believed in, and I still believe it's true today. And they will branch off, and they started another church. And it just kept going. You have churches everywhere believing all kind of crazy, all kind of things. So you better know the truth. Man, we're living in dangerous times. That's why Paul told Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. He's talking to the church. It's always been bad in the world. It's perilous times in the church. Why, they don't even know what book to read out of. They're so confused. NIV, NABSA, and NBA, and NFL, and CBS, and ABC, and duct tape Bible. I saw that in a bookstore one time. I looked at a duct tape Bible. He talked about my Bible. Yeah, it must be a King James, because mine's got duct tape on it. See that duct tape on the outside? Duct tape Bible. I said, I wonder what that is. I guess it's just something to kind of hold you together. I don't know what was in it. Oh, don't get me started on translations. Interpretation, they're not translations. Amen? He says, 2 Peter 3 and 10. But the day of the Lord will come. It's coming, friends. As a thief in the night. In the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What should we be, people? Should we be holy or not? Should we live right or not? Knowing that it comes as a thief in the night. The rapture will happen, boom, like that, it's over. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's not the blink of an eye, it's a twinkle, just a little flash of light. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him without spot and blameless. Amen. I ask you this morning, what is so wrong with holiness? What is so wrong with holiness? I mentioned the other interpretations there. Interpretations of the Bible there, the NIV and different things. Brother David Williams had a scripture there Wednesday night and he showed it to me before. But over in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, she don't have a scripture, but it lists over there some things like adultery and fornication and theft, thieves and all this, that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And one of them is in the King James, is abusers of themselves with mankind. He's talking about homosexuals or lesbians. Abusers of themselves with mankind. The NIV says homosexual abuser. Now, that could be, if I preach against homosexuality, I could be abusing them with language. That's not what he's talking about, see? See, one generation passed and old preachers like me done gone and these King James are gone and another generation come up with them young whippersnappers and, you know, and them newfangled little books and there'll be homosexuals in the church preaching. Well, wait a minute, they're already doing that. They're already doing that in America. You better know the truth. Zephaniah 2:2. If before the decree bring forth, before the end comes, this is what he's saying, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness and seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Today is the day to seek God. Today is to seek the truth. Amen. That's what we're to do. He said in Malachi 3:2, he said, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? He shall be like the refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen. The refiner's fire. Look, the chaff and the dross just floats to the top. If you're all dross, my friend, you're going to be all wiped away. But if you're pure, the real pure thing, you'll be all right. Hebrews 12:29 said, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:28, it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the spirit of grace. I'm telling you, they're not going to get by with it. And people who follow their ways are not going to get by with it. People who will take and say that, hey, I don't have to live a certain way. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ paid a big price for our salvation. And if we don't accept that, you ought to look up the word salvation, what it means. Amen. And if you don't accept that, I'm telling you, when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account for it. If they died under Moses' law because they refused to heed Moses' law, they'd stone them to death. How much sore punishment. Verse 30 says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. I'm almost finished. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? I was talking this morning with Dwight back there. I was telling him, I was checking on his brother-in-law, but I tell him about my brother and Jeannie. And I said, you know, I just think, sometimes I'm just thinking on my brother and it's just like, it don't seem real that he's not here. I mean, I still got his recording on my phone, you know, and once in a while I listen to it, but it just don't seem real that he's not here on this earth anymore with us, you know.
And I told Brother White, I said, I can only imagine how it'd be with you and Jeannie. I mean, not having your wife there. Man, how you put your arms around to grip the thought of that. You know, I mean, but what happens is, and I was telling him that so often in life, we can't get grips with something. We don't understand something. And it's like we're looking at a picture on the wall. And we say, we're looking at one little square inch of it. And it says, this don't make a bit of sense. Man, I just can't figure it out. But then when we back up and look at the whole picture, okay, I see the plan now. I see the picture God sees. God's got a plan for us. But we got to get in the plan. Amen. We've got to get in the plan. He said, the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. A lot of people said, oh yeah, it'll be all right when the Lord come on back. But it's not going to be a day of light. It's going to be a day of darkness. The day of light is the rapture, is the church getting ready, getting dressed to get out of here. But the day of the Lord, the second coming, is a darkened day. It says, verse number 19, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. And went into the house and leaned on his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. And people will step into that. In the Bible, it tells us throughout the whole Bible, it talks about Jesus even mentioned the two roads, the straight and narrow and the broad road. A few that goes the straight and narrow, many goes the broad. Throughout the whole Bible, we see two ends, the end for a Christian and the end for a sinner. Revelation is no different. In Revelation 21:7, it said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 22:14, he said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those who love that lie, who love to have it so. Two ends. Which end will you see? Peter said in first book of Peter, verse 18 of the fourth chapter, he said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where's the sinner and ungodly going to appear? I mean, the church world today, the church world, most people you talk to in the church world, most people, they say that you can, you know, sin a little bit every day and get to heaven, and you can live loose, and, you know, we live in grace time, and, you know, you don't need to go to them churches like Deliverance Tabernacle, and, you know, they put the, you know, these, they're legalist, legalism churches. That's what they call us, legalistic churches. They put all kind of rules and regulations on you. Man, our little teachings ain't nothing compared with that book right there. Come on. The teachings of the church, nothing but road signs to protect the church. The same way when you go through a city, they lower the speed limit for safe driving through that city. And that's what the teaching of the church is. It slows you down, that it protects the church and the people of the church. That's all it is. They say, no, man, just go to a church and just tell you to feel good, do it. No, he said, if the righteous scarcely, look up that word. That's it's almost out not to is to. If they just, the righteous, scarcely be saved. Where's the sinner and ungodly going to appear? I mean, if Jesus already said that the way is straight and narrow, and he said, how many is going in? Few. Look up that word. It means small, puny, tiny. Means almost nothing. Slight. That's what it means. few that go in.
Those commencements. What shall their end be? Daniel's book of Daniel, you ought to read it and do your study on it sometime. Very interesting book. It's a modern book. It's a book for today. And tomorrow even. Tribulation even. It's a book of his time. The seventh chapter, Daniel is speaking here. And in this seventh chapter, he sees the kingdoms. He'd already seen earlier in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this image. Y'all remember it? The image that had a head of gold and had the, what was it, breastplate of silver and brass on the loins and legs and feet of iron and clay, toes. And he interpreted this dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't tell anybody what the dream was, but the Lord showed Daniel what it was. And Daniel said, you saw this image. And he explained it and he says, thou art this head of gold. This head of gold are you, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel was living in the time of the head of gold. And he didn't know anything about Alexander the Great. He didn't know anything about the Roman Empire. He didn't know anything about that. He just said that thou art this head of gold. He said, and when you go, another shall arise. It'll be another kingdom, okay, of silver. Silver is inferior to gold. And now looking back, we know it as the Medo-Persian Empire, okay? And then after the Medo-Persian Empire, here was the loins of brass. Brass was used to symbolize Alexander the Great, his swiftness and his, you know, coming to power, okay? We know it now. Alexander the Great is already come and gone. Then after Alexander the Great, this Iron Age kingdom, Romans, iron, you know, the Roman Empire, okay, it's come and gone. And this image is for the rest of man, days of man. We're down to these feet down here with these 10 toes on this image. We're to the end of this thing, friend. It's winding down. And we know that's the revised Roman Empire. It'll be nations that is of this old Roman Empire, but it'll be revised. Won't be the same, be revised. And from those 10 toes will come Antichrist, the 10 nations. Now listen, the seventh chapter, Daniel is speaking to another king, and it's similar to all this. He sees this lion that has eagle's wings. It's Nebuchadnezzar. Then he sees this bear. That's the Medo-Persian Empire because they had the bears there. It's the Medo-Persian Empire. Then he saw the leopard that was swift, fast. Alexander the Great. Then he saw this dreadful beast. More dreadful than the all. Represents the Roman Empire or the revised Roman Empire. And then it talks about the 10 horns on this beast. And out of that comes a little horn. That's Antichrist. Now these are the kingdoms. They're all coming on except this last one. But then it says, I want to pick it up in Daniel the 7th chapter. Listen to this. Daniel 7 and 9. And I beheld two the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit. Now what he's talking about is, as Jesus has come back, he's defeated Antichrist, and now he set up his kingdom. Okay? New heaven, new earth. Listen. Whose garment was white as snow? He's defeated that little horn. He's cut it off. That kingdom's gone too now at this point. And the hair of his head were like the pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame. And his wheels as burning fire. Now listen to verse 10. Listen close. Very close. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him. Now y'all heard me say this before. If 1,000 thousands ministered to him, how many is 1,000 thousands? 1,000,000. Figure it out when you get home. 1,000 thousands is 1,000,000. Okay? And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. What's 10,000 times 10,000? That's 100 million. 1 million with him. 100 million stood before him. And it says, the judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, the only place in the entire Bible I've been able to find where there was a judgment and where books were opened is the white throne judgment in Revelation. And what that is that we, the saints of God that are raptured up, be part of this number up here. Now, don't get hung up on the million and the 100 million. Don't say, Brother David said, there's only a million people going. You look at the percentages. What is the percentage of 100 million versus 1 million? What's that percentage? 1%. That sounds like scarcely be saved. Don't it sound like straight is the way and few there be that find it, but many go this other way? What do y'all think, church? I mean, I've heard preachers and teachers and people talking and say, boy, when the rapture take place, cars going to be running off the road and airplanes falling and all kind of chaos going. Let me tell you, when the rapture takes place, most churches will carry on the next Sunday like just before. Won't notice. The books are open. Revelation says, read it when you get home, 19th chapter, last part. The white throne judgment, judgment of sinners. The people this is the end of those who love to have it so. He said, they'll stand before him. The books will be open and another book. Books is two and another book one. That's three books. The books, I read you a while ago, it's been recorded. The books of your life, the day you was conceived in your mother's womb, the day that you were born, the time, all your life, school, everything, every time anybody ever witnessed to you, every church service you was in, every opportunity. Now I'm talking about if you were a sinner. Every opportunity you had to get saved and the day you die will be in that book. God, you'll stand before God at the white throne judgment. He'll open that book and he'll read your life. And he'll say, I don't see anywhere that you ever accepted. But being just God, he'll pick up the Lamb's Book of Life then. And he'll look for your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he won't find it. He'll lay it down. He'll pick up the Bible. That's the other book. The book of your life. The book of life right here. The Word of God. And the Lamb's Book of Life. The recording of our name. Where when we get saved, our name is written in heaven. And he'll pick up that Bible and he'll read it right there in the last chapter or last part of the 19th chapter. He said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake which burneth with fire. That's the end. That'll be the end of those who love to have it so. Now, next time you hear somebody says you can live any kind of way, you ought to get this and say, listen to the very end of that CD. And see how many is really going. See, I used to think, I preached on the 10 lepers. Y'all remember that? The 10 lepers that came to Christ and said, you know, might be cleansed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one came back. I was kind of in my own mind thinking, well, maybe 10% will make it. 10% of the people who come and get saved might make it. But 1% is my opinion now. You don't have to accept that if you don't want to. But I know what scarcely means. And I know what few means. And God wants you to be part of that number. And I don't know where you stand with God today, friend, but it's not no day to be playing around with God. It's a day to get serious with God. If I didn't know for sure, if my sins was not under the blood, I would not go out that door today. But I come to this altar this morning. I say, God, I want you to search me. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord, I want my name to be there. Lord, I want to make it. I want to know the truth, and the truth will make me free, God.
like you said in John 8. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, you see every soul that's in this building today. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that you would have your way right now. Lord, if we would in this building really realize how close we are to the end, Lord, I believe that none of us would probably go to sleep tonight. Lord, we'd be out knocking on doors, getting people ready. Lord, I believe it's that close. Father, I pray, God, that the church would wake up, Father. Help us, Lord, to be the salt of the earth we should be, the light of the world that we should be. Father, help us to live this the way we're supposed to live it. The world has seen too many hypocrites. He's seen too many in the world out there, God, that is living like the world. And when the world looks at them, they say, well, they're no better off than I am. Lord, help us that the world might see a change in us for your glory.